Welcome to the PSDcast with your host, Jason Lumberg with Power Systems Design. The U.S. solar industry is growing exponentially, driven in part by government policy and mature photovoltaic technology. And while the industry added 7.5 gigawatts direct current of capacity in Q2 2025, and estimates have it being worth nearly $600 billion by 2032 with a compound annual growth rate of 8.3%, the U.S. could learn a lot from the European example, and Asia for that matter. And on the line to discuss these issues is Megan Wood, CEO of Freya Power, a solar power startup. So, Megan, thanks for coming on the show, and can you give us the executive overview of Freya Power?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today. So, Freya Power is on a mission to make residential solar and storage accessible to everyone, as normal as getting into a home and getting some Wi-Fi set up. So we've invented a new system that makes solar modular with an integrated battery, ballast, and all the electronics. So you could basically set it up at your house and connect it directly to your core appliances, running those in parallel to the grid, so you can both save money and also have resilience in an outage.
Okay, and as I mentioned in the intro, U.S. solar power has seen steady progress both on the consumer and industrial sides, but you believe, your company believes adoption has stagnated. So why do you think U.S. solar power adoption has slowed down?
Yeah, there's a few things you could see here. So even though solar adoption is growing, it's still only at a few percent of U.S. households. And when you really dig into why people don't have solar, you have to own your home, you have to have a new roof, you have to be willing to go through a construction project. It's going to cost a lot of money and probably a lot of time with permits and all of the steps that are required. So there's all these, per se, soft costs, which really increase the cost of the project overall. We believe that if you can take away a lot of those soft costs and make the decision a lot easier by reducing the cost of purchasing solar, reducing the hurdles to actually getting it, and making it, you know, an aftermarket where you could sell it to someone else or move homes and bring it to your next home, now the decision barrier is much lower than it was before. So we think that you've kind of started to saturate, you know, the big homes that are either climate positive or really thinking about their big bills. And now you're getting into everyone else in the market who would love a solution, but maybe can't get over some of those hurdles that exist today to get it. And that's where we come in with Freya Power.
Makes sense. Now, could you give an example of a country that's handled solar in a more elegant, efficient manner? You know, what have they done that the U.S. hasn't?
Yeah, there's a few that come to mind. A lot of people talk about Australia with the way that they've been able to get the dollar per watt down, so it becomes a lot simpler to get on roofs. The other more recent one that I think has been really interesting to see is Pakistan and their ability to coat so many roofs with solar by seeing the price of solar come down with an excess of supply from China and their ability to really drive exponential growth in solar from distributed energy, so not utility scale, but actually residential scale. So when you see there's a, I guess, broken grid where you need a better alternative combined with high electricity prices, every individual can take that choice to get that better solution regardless of their, you know, reason for it, and really drive a mass adoption of solar. And I think that'll be really cool to see in different parts of the world. We're seeing it start already in Puerto Rico, where we are, where the grid resilience is forcing people to really look for alternatives to the point where, you know, your Uber driver talks to you about solar panels. It's become more of the norm here in everyday conversation. And I think as you have that combination of high prices and an unreliable grid, you start to really see solar driving penetration in the market.
All right. Now, what is the democratization of solar?
We view democratization of solar as everyone has an option to get it. So what got me so excited about solar at the starting is this technology is, you know, in theory been solved, right? You have this panel that takes solar energy and takes the sun and creates energy at your home. And what an incredible thing that we have figured out to do. But there's not a great way of getting it to a lot of people. And so most people don't interact with solar. They don't necessarily know what a watt is or a kilowatt or how they could take a solar panel and eventually run an appliance in their home. And so to us, it's making it a lot more digestible, a lot more bite-sized, communicating it in a way that people can actually understand it. And that creates an interest in bringing it home, in seeing how it works, and being able to start small. So get your foot in the door with solar with a smaller system, and then maybe grow from there as your means allow it or as you need more power. And to us, that's just such a beautiful way to bring this incredible technology into the hands of everyone who can really benefit from it, rather than just being something that is maybe talked about in certain circles, but not across society.
All right, Megan, now before I let you go, how could Install It Yourself Solar revitalize the industry?
So we've seen this take off in Germany, if you see the balcony solar movement, where you basically take a solar panel and you plug it into an existing outlet and it sends electricity back into your home. So what happened in Germany was there was an increase in electricity prices that drove people to look for solutions, and a lot of people were in buildings and they were renters or in apartments. And so this kind of took off there because it was so simple to bring home and do. That started our interest in this space to see how could we do that similarly in North America. And while plug-in solar has some barriers right now, we've designed our system to, I guess, in a different way so that you are not hitting those barriers today. And also you can have a larger system with more backup. But all that to say, when we make this more modular and more accessible to people from an educational point of view, from an accessibility at, you know, eventually your local Home Depot or your IKEA, to something your neighbors talk about always, it just makes it so much more tangible and simple for people to do it themselves. I think you cut out all those soft costs that are the hurdles today that stop people from doing it, and you make it like buying a normal appliance. And then once people see the benefit of it, because it will give you a positive return on investment, it will give you resilience, and also this feeling of having your own power at home, that just creates its own flywheel within neighborhoods because it's also visible, right? You can see that your neighbor has it. And if you can easily just go and grab it and bring it home, now that's a way that you can really scale solar without having to have construction projects, custom design, permitting all in the way that really slow people down before it even starts.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Megan. I want to thank you for your time and to your audience. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.